But one of the malachas and hilchos Shabbos is called Makkah B'Patish. One of the most, you know, I shouldn't say complex, it's very, it's perplexed. It is like, you know, to say exactly when, yes, well, so I'm going to just say the general shittas in the Rishonim. Rashi learns, and then the Me'iri brings another pshat. You know, Makkah B'Patish, the word Makkah B'Patish, you know, there's Lamates Melochis. You know, a lot of plow, you know, a lot of cut, you know, a lot of gather, you know, a lot of winnowing, you know, a lot of crush, all the Melochis. The last Melochah, the Mishnah says, is Makkah B'Patish. Rashi learns, Makkah B'Patish, there's two different Rashis. One place it seems to Rashi learning, smoothing the surface of something. And let's say you're making a vessel. So you have to carve the well out, the last bang to smooth the surface. So that means, some learn that Asha learned, understanding of Asha, that Makkah B'Patish is enhancing a finished product. Let me just say a Gemara, where we'll understand it. The Gemara says, if a person makes a vase, and it makes engravings in the vase on Shabbos. The vase was done before Shabbos. You know, old vases that you see, you know, even the archaeologists, they go, they have some designs. Otherwise, it's, you know, even the Udna Kodesh, you have some design around there. You know, something there. It shouldn't still look so empty. So making that design is Makkah B'Patish. So not because the truth, the vase is finished. The vase is a usable vase. It's enhancing it as something that a place coming down was done all the time. If you wanted to sell a vase, you would do that. So it's enhancing something, a finished product. Now there's many Rishayim learned that this is also Makkah B'Patish. We'll see also other cases that is even before it's finished. Another place Rashi learns, I just want to make this clear, Rashi learns the hammer, after working so hard, became crooked. So I would take the hammer and bang it on an iron. I don't know what it was. It's called an anvil, and that will smoothen the surface. So it's very clear that Makkah B'Patish, there's many rise to this, is could be done more than once. So let me explain when this comes out in a Geyah. You know, I always say this, about 15 years ago, it came out of software to check a Sefer Torah, the letters of the Sefer Torah. I don't know if you remember the whole tumult. So there was a rub over here in town, when it first came out, the big tumult, it's such a great thing. It's not a great thing, how could you trust the computer? So I tell him, it'll be Yid. It was a Chassidish Yid, I tell him. You know, every week you assign me on a computer. Me? What computer? He says, the clock. You look at the clock. You see, you look at the clock when the end of Shabbos is. He didn't go outside and look if there's three stars. What do you think the clock is? The first computer. It's the first game. You look at the clock. He tells me, I look at two clocks. I'm not thinking to you look at two clocks. You look at the clock. The first computer was a clock. And you see that you rely on a clock on Chayv and Krisis. We're talking about Motzei Shabbos. None of us run out. Wait a minute. How do you know it's... How do you really know it's 72 minutes? Maybe the clock is... We know already that this clock and... The truth is, let me just think, when the clock came out, it used to be, you know, some of us remember, used to wind the clock. Some of us remember those days, used to wind the clock. But it used to be, literally be, have to be wound every 24 hours. Remember those days? Literally. The end of Shabbos, that's right. The end of Shabbos, we always want the Shabbos have to rewind, and then a little fancy clock came, you have to wind it once a week. You remember that? And then the self-winding watches came out. So, Kamat, most of the place came held, winding a watch that stopped is Makkah B'Patish. Zachir V'Raisa. Because right now, the watch is not usable.
It's more than a magic.
It's what, yeah, so making a function, making something function is Makkah B'Patish.
Some people is prohibited.
So if it's working, it just self winds. That's not a problem.
But if you wind it while it's working,
there's something else that's okay.
What about this washing that when you walk, the movement?
Self winding. So that's, as long as it's working, you're not doing anything. Then it's okay. It's most often the self-winding watches, you know, it's okay because it's working. The newer ones today, I was told, someone showed me in Shul, he has it, is incredible because you just have to move a drop. And it's not like, it used to be the self-winding watches 30 years ago, it used to still stop if you didn't move enough. There's just a little bit of movement that does. Anyway, point is that this is the basis that many things, if you put on, one of the famous questions, the Pesachim all agree not to open a fan Shabbos. What exactly Malucha do you do? What exactly? What Mechazonish wanted to say, Boina, I'll focus on another time about Boina.
Fan?
Electric turn. What's exactly, which Malucha are you violating by turning on the switch? Which fire? There's a fire there? Electricity is a fire? Electricity, not. Anyone who knows physics, electricity is electricity, and fire is fire. It's two separate things. It is. If you study physics, you know it's not. We don't even know what electric is exactly. Do you know that? We just know how to harness it. We don't know exactly how it is. But it's not fire. Fire is fire. Some learn that it sparks, but that many learn, everyone agrees. That's something else. The light we'll get to a minute. But turning it, that's why I chose a fan. A fan is, before it was not functioning. Now you put on the switch, it's functioning. It's surely Michael Papatish. According to Moise Poskim, it would be an Isla Deraisa. Now, light, let me explain something. The original light, the original light used to be a metal,
right,
remember? And it heats the filament inside the bulb and it makes it glow. And the Shalmei says, the Rambam brings down, if you make metal glow, it's like making a fire. So turning on a switch. And,
what about these lights?
Yeah, now these lights is a new thing. So this, do you know how this works? The same idea, except it's gases gets heated. How do you think this works? There's electric current. It does. It doesn't get so hot because they learned how to, for all these years, to finally figure out how to...
Was it the heat or is it the...
It's the glow.
Like turning on a stove, that electric stove, same thing?
Right, according to the Rambam, in the Siri Shama, and putting on something that glows is turning on fire. So this is the question now. Is it metal that has to glow? See, metal has both qualities of a fire. Fire burns and it's hot. And it's light. So metal has both. Metal, when the old filament was, the bulb had both. It's hot. And this is not very hot but produces light. But this works with the same idea. And I don't know if anyone over here knows how it works, but I asked many years ago when it first came out, they explained to me it works with the same idea. There's electric currents going through the chemicals out there that makes it glow.
Could you say another shot for the bottle caps and part of the potash?
Yeah, that's another, we'll get to it, right.
The
tikkun, what's Michael Patrick do? We'll get to it in a minute. So I just want to focus. So you see that many, this is very important, many today's malochas are included in Makabah Patish. So if you turn on, let's just say, turning on the cell phone, besides all the numbers and everything, it's Makabah Patish. It was off, it was not a viable keli. You turned it on, and now you made it into a viable thing. If it's working the whole time, and you just want to put numbers into it, that's like writing. But that we'll get another time, that's called writing. But just turning on a phone or taking the phone off the hook, before it was taken off the hook, it was not a viable thing. By picking it up from the hook, it became a viable thing. That's called tikkun when it's makabah patish. So many, many things will go into this category. So we once spoke about it over here, and I explained that opening a soda tap, you reminded me, is a question of makabah patish. Why do I say this? So there's a famous Gemara, if you learn Daf Yomi, and Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara says, if I take a branch and I break it off to make it into a toothpick, it's makabah patish. The Gemara says, make it with your hand, it's a shini. Make it with a knife, that's normally you do it, you chai makabah patish. The Mishnah in Masechta's Beyah says if you cut a piece of paper, they used to cut paper to broil fish underneath it, to broil fish. So the Mishnah says over there, it's called Makah Bapatish. So cutting toilet paper, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says very clearly, Hilcha Shabbos, is a Chiyav Chatas. Many people don't know this. In Chabad, I find these two groups. One, all of them knew of it. Know exactly if you stuck without toilet paper. Some of them, we cut toilet paper. You gotta go. No, it's clear. There's no disagreement about it. Some of you, if you cut it on the perforated exact, you chayv lots machatach. If you cut something, you want the exact measurement, you chayv another gum. But cutting toilet paper is a issa d'raisa. If you're stuck without it, then you're allowed to, with the shini, wipe yourself and they say put it into the toilet, flush it and hold it so it gets ripped down. But you must, because you must have Shabbos toilet paper or use napkins, tissues, whatever. Tissues. But there's no heter in the world saying that. So, let me just explain again a mark of a patish. There's another Gemara which may be more interesting. Let me tell you what someone asked me first, a practical question, I don't want to forget. Someone asked me recently, his wife has to take shots to become pregnant, whatever it's called, they're going to give themselves. So there's different type of needles, and they have a needle that she has to attach it to the syringe, and that means you see it in the doctor's office, the different types. So she has a type. For some reason, because I asked them when I went to the hospital, my wife was getting asked the lady says, we don't do that anymore, so much anymore. But anyway, she asked me, you take the needle, you attach it to the syringe, it's called, and you'd use it and you throw it away. So the guy asked me, isn't this called taking mono? Mark of a patish. I couldn't use it before, but it's only made to use one time, and you have to get rid of it. So the Pesukim speak about this already. The Pesukim Zamor Bach already was asked this question. And he says something that is, used for one time and thrown away. Yeah, so I asked, this is why I bring it up. So I don't understand, I don't have the tshuva. I was looking this afternoon to find it. And I don't understand how the quorum, toilet paper is the same thing. The Mishnah says, you cut paper to put it on the fish. It's mark of a patish. So why this? So either this guy quotes it. I don't find out. Yeah, use once toilet paper is a problem. And he over there says, I have to look it up. Well, I've learned most often he's accurate when he quotes things. This is a guy in Lake Odor Sefer, I demand that the boys in the Smucha program, they have to learn this. I says, you learned the other day, it's great, but I want you to be a Shalom Shabbos.
Should it be that because this item could be used more than once in
Well, it's not supposed to be used.
It's not supposed, but you could use it, but totally you definitely can't use it.
So that should make it worse. It make it not less.
Yeah,
but why? As far as the opposite. You can use it many times and throw it away, and still it's not called. I have to look it up. I just someone asked me if it recently. I said that the Pesukim Zamor is Mata. I don't know why. I have to look it up. But coming back, let me just go back. So there's another halacha. Someone asked this to me a few weeks ago over here. Putting a fresh shoelace into your shoe is makah bapatish, Gemara says. Many people don't know this. And according to many, Rashi learns yechayev chatas. You're fighting fresh shoelace. So they ask, how about a belt? So a belt is made to take in and out. You just, is it right? It's made to take in and out. But a shoelace, you're going to leave it there till it gets used up. So a shoelace in a shoe is a problem of makah bapatish. Okay? Let me just go over some of the things that he mentions over here. So let's say, another thing. Removing a tag. Remember we spoke about this? I mean, it said that you're allowed to, believe it or not, people get shocked. You're allowed to take a scissor and remove a tag on Shabbos from one of the new clothing you bought. Somebody, I'm not so shocked because I have a house full of daughters and they were, always was, some people are so, when I said it over here, it was like shocking. A scissor is called a keli shemalachto le'isa. That means a keli, which you normally make, we can't use Shabbos. A keli shemalachto le'isa, if you have a need for it, but so you're allowed to. My need is to cut off the label, hanging a label out of it. See, a lot of cut it off. So why is that not called makabe patish? Because it's the garment is finished. It's not enhancing the garment. It is taking away something. That's okay. Now, how about, you know, you took your, you know, most of it doesn't happen anymore, but if you took your pants to the tailor, and they, you know, made the pants, and they have chalk, the tailor's chalk up there. Besides the issur of cleaning something Shabbos, the Gemara seems to say that's called makabe patish, because that is, while the garment was being done, the pants was being done, tailored pants, bring a new pair of pants, and they put the mark there, and now you're enhancing it to be able to wear it the first time. That's the way it's got to be clean. The Issur Gemara talks about that. When they used to make clothing, a lot of things in the company get stuck to it. You know, how's it called? The lint and the friction of many things. And cleaning off the lint of your clothing, the Gemara calls makabe patish. It's not malabim, it's just lint, you know, pieces of wool get stuck to it, you know, from friction. So the pants is a finished pants, but as it was finished, it has lint on it, whatever it is. Lint that comes later, that's not a problem. That's like dirt. Then we have to judge it washing something. But since, while it was being done, this is what happens, and normally afterwards we remove it, it's like putting engraving into a vessel. We said before that's called makabe patish. So this is called makabe patish. But how about you want to turn your hat down? You know, your hat, that's not called makabe patish, because you can wear it up, you can wear it down. That's just the folding. There's nothing there that's being done. Getting dirt and clothing after it's finished, that's already, it's just dirt. It
doesn't matter whether it's before Shabbos or after Shabbos.
Right. Let's say your pants got dirty. But here we're talking about when we made the pants.
But the tailor is only putting the marks on the pants for his own. It has nothing to do with the garment.
But it was not a finished garment. Talking about an unfinished garment that he made for you pants. Let's say you tailored the pants. So he made it brand new for you and he puts it there. Right now, to enhance the pants, you got to clean off those chalk. So that's called makabe patish. That's part of the last job of doing it. See, makabe patish could mean two ways: enhancing a finished job or making something viable. The best marshal was, we talked about the wristwatch. Winding a wristwatch is called makabe. Opening a fan is called makabe patish. Everyone agrees that opening a fan is makabe patish. Chazanish wanted to say this, boina, because other things, but surely making something in use becomes makabe patish. Someone asked me one time that, asked me for the Shoshana, that this year when he opened the computer more than once, it was a terrible, angry mood, and he was going through a horrible time, and Shabbos he opened the computer, he said, tell me, which Aveda did I do? So probably did a Issa D'Raisa, according to most Paskin. Asked him, yes, it was totally closed, and I was so angry, he went through a tough time. And in the middle of the night, he got up, and so, you know, the Baruch Shem listens to everyone's tshuva. You know, it's good that you're asking, but you got to know, you're Issa D'Raisa, it's good to know, you got to do the tshuva for it.
The makabe patish applies in a situation where you're not doing the ordinary course of what it's supposed to do. You say, if I have a bed that's under, you know, trundle bed, and you pull that out, you're not improving the bed. It's supposed to do that.
What's a trundle bed?
There's so many things in life that we do on a daily basis that are improving on.
Yeah, the chair is folding. You notice it's clear. Folding a chair is okay. What type of bed are you talking about?
Opening a milk cart.
So we spoke about a milk. Okay, let's talk about that. So the Gemara says, that's a good question. The Gemara says, if I open a hole in a chicken coop, it's called makabe patish. So the reason is, you know, when chickens poop, it has a terrible gas with it. And if you don't let the air out, they themselves die from their own poop. So it's a Gemara. So you have to make a hole. You want air to come in and air to go out. The Gemara calls it makabe patish. The Gemara says it clearly. So this came up, the question now, can I make a hole in a can of soda? So a can of soda that you buy, you make a hole, you have one intention only. Only out. And afterwards you're going to throw it away. So you didn't do anything. There's no mark of a patish. Except I could have, you know, made a hole, a nasty hole and get the soda out. I made a fancy hole. So that's, you're allowed to open it. But let's say opening the soda cap, which is going to be for a while, it's not just open. When I turn off the soda cap, the top of the soda cap, before I turned it off, it was not a viable thing. You couldn't use it. If you rip the whole thing off, like teenagers could do it very 1, 2, 3, they take the whole thing off. Very nice, but you can't put it back. If you rip it off, now you have a big little, you know, Pepsi or Coke, you want to put it back in the fridge. You have a geschmack thing to turn around, turn it off. That's called a tikkamana. The mother says, if you break something to use it, it becomes a tikkamana. So opening a soda like that, there's a better opening, let's say, opening a package, which, you know, just ripping the paper open, the Shulchan Aruch Rav holds, there's no cray on paper and on plastic. As long, right, and as long as you rip it open, that's okay. There's no mark, as long as you didn't create something with it, you just got the things out.
Some of those containers they have like that now, the cookie, the lava, you tear off.
That's
the top,
a problem.
And
tear off the top, and then it has the clasp, right. That's a real issa d'raisa, because before you couldn't use it. Now you ripped it off, you made it into a nice, viable keli. The big, I know they showed it to me in the Jets, this huge popcorn or huge whatever, these bags.
She's
also cooking.
So it's a milk carton, a cardboard carton that you open up and push back, and then you pour the orange juice. Is that my hypothesis?
The orange juice that you just, the thing, no, that is pasted on.
No, it's not that way you make a spout. You make a spout.
You make a spout?
Yeah,
the old, I don't do it anymore. That's 30 years ago. I mean, yeah. So the reason, okay, because it's made to open easy. Remember, if you opened on the wrong side, what happened? Remember those days?
Yeah.
It was just a disaster. So this is made to make to be open. So it's never sealed well. It was open. They seal it not well to make it open. So that's why you're allowed to open it. Understand?
But here you have two things that were glued together. That's correct.
Yeah, but it's made to open right away. So there's the Moss says a Shi'i design. Something that's glued together to be made open right away. It's two opinions. And make a
Yemeiko.
Can you put scotch tape on a piece of paper that's got a small bit of
That's like a ticket money. Yeah, that's a good question. Ripping scotch tape itself is ripping paper. So that itself is a problem with the certain scalp states over there.
But they actually make Spencer's now, which are little strips.
Already, right. So it depends, of, you know. If you're fixing the thing, that's called tikkamon. If that's ripped, you're fixing it. See, there's another, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, you don't happen anymore. I remember 50 years ago, less than that. I used to get svarim. Remember, you have to literally cut it. If you got to cut it, then cut. Remember those days? Not stuck from the glue. It was not cut. You never cut. Remember those?
From the print.
And if you, Shulchan Aruch talks about it. If you cut it, it's makom patush. But if the sefer was glue, you know, bound and glued, and sometimes glue got raw, that's not makom. That happens afterwards. You know, it was already done. I'm talking about, you know, those good old days, you have to cut it. That is, I recently had a marzer, the Shoshana marzer a few years ago. Everything was cut, just the last piece was not cut. You see that? You're over writing. But it's temporary writing. It's a temporary writing. It's not a long lasting. Like right now.
This is
a drabonim. Right. It's a drabonim writing.
If it's already on.
Well, I don't know if it's called writing. It's written already. But somehow it is called writing. You know, today, many ways. But the question is always comes out this way. The Shlomo Zalman says, adding electricity to something is not terrible. Question is, what are you doing? If you bring down a whole writing hope sheet. So some hold you just brought down a writing. You wrote, you caused to be
run. You can write it, and you cannot. You cannot exercise.
So all this is midrabban. It's the midrabban of the writing, because it's not made to last long.
It's
the same. That's what we're saying. We all agreeing it's also. All he's saying is, it's not a deraisa in the writing, it's only a deraban in the writing. That's all we're saying. But the electricity is on already. There's no, when the computer is on, you don't, I ask people who do the computer, very, very, very little electricity gets added. It gets sometimes a little drop electricity added, but that, the Shom is on the held, just because a little bit more electricity comes to it, that doesn't make it stronger current. Well, pick up the home phone with the shini. See, the home phone is always easy, the landline, to do with the shini. If you need an emergency, you just pick up the phone regularly and you dial it.
That's better to use
that, but if your wife is waiting a baby, so then you know you have time. So you should knock the phone off and call with the shini.
And I can't put the phone back on.
You can't put it back on.
Well,
unless they're going to call back, you need them to call back.
A dimmer
and a light, that's a good question what he's asking. You see, making a fire higher is not as tikkun mana, is ash. The Gemara says clearly, adding, the Gemara says, how do you say in English when you stoke the coals or fan the coals? So the Gemara says that's called making the fire bigger is an issa d'raisa. So even though there's fire, but making the fire bigger, that's awesome and atoyda. Understand? So we're fanning a fire, or even adding oil to the fire. You want it to burn longer.
Right.
I'm going to add a little oil. The Gemara says it's called making a fire. So that dimmer, putting on the dimmer higher or lower, is an issa d'raisa.
That's fire.
I remember you kept saying about moving a light. I seem to remember you wrong, but if the light is plugged in, I need the space for dark.
Correct. Shulchan Aruch talks about a lamp, not a light.
I know,
every time I speak about this, the same argument comes up. You're allowed to move?
Yeah.
There's electricity inside, do you know that? How's it called? There's a tiny battery inside. It's making the watch move, and everyone wears a watch. If the people don't wear about Shabbos, they only say it because of the problem of carrying. So just because there's electric, it's a keli. It happens to be working with a. It's great. It's a great computer. It works all the time.
So then, by your opinion, is if you can take the light, you can put it at the closet.
That's perfectly okay. It's different than you have a lantern because it's separate the fire, separate the wick, separate the oil. This is all one keli. See, loudly. See, the reason it's muksa your iPhone. Is only because you normally do things you cannot do. You know what I'm saying? But if it's, you know. Yeah, today became a normal thing that way. So you're writing with your voice. That became a normal thing. Yeah. Let me just add another thing. How about adjusting the clock? The clock is off time. Now let's say you want to just fix it to adjust it. So adjusting a clock, most places, no, you're not making tikkun mana. It's just, it's working. It's just showing the wrong time.
See how to do it.
What? Not digital.
Not
as long as not digital. What do you say? Yeah, but you're writing then. Fixing it then. Writing. Someone bought me in my office a clock, an atomic clock. And it was too small. I said to him, why didn't you get me just a regular? Yeah, good old clock. I don't need these new fans. So he got me a new clock, an atomic clock like that.
Why isn't changing it to the right time?
I know this. Let's say you know this clock is off with 5 minutes. I know. So you know it's all for a few minutes. So it's a clock that's moving the whole time. Yeah, but it is no tikkun mana. It is working. It's off for a few minutes. What were you missing? It's like putting your hat down. You have your hat up, you're putting your hat down.
But you're stopping it.
No, you don't stop running. Still running, the whole time it's running.
But
not talking about, I'm going to say this clock, you just move the handle. You're right, and the hand something. You know, but this stops, doesn't stop, you just move the handle. Yeah, if you have to push it out, it stops. Yes. That's true. The wristwatch. Yes, then you're fixing it. That's true. No, but it stopped the watch. You pull it out, you stop watches. Yeah, but I understood that it doesn't work. I understood it doesn't. The battery could be working, but it's not the clock. You pull it out. It depends how it works. I don't know. So let me tell you a quick story. Last night, a guy from Toronto, what's his name? His brother has a yeshiva there. Asfeld? There's someone named Asfeld?
Aster.
Anyway, see, he came to me. So it's a good thought as he thought about it. I don't know what exactly his brother has a yeshiva there or whatever. So the kids, what happened was, they had a confection in the oven, and they had hamburgers cooking there. And the Shagets opened it, the oven, and closed it back. And only realized that later, you know, when you open a confection in the oven, you know how it works? It stops totally. And you close the electric, the heat stops totally. When you put it back in, it's like the goy would have put the fire on. It was raw hamburgers, and when he came to my dafyam, it was 9 o'clock, I don't know exactly. I says, what is the negeya? The negeya, the hamburgers or kashering the oven? But it was, someone hopped there, exactly this. When you open it up, the confection in the oven, it literally cuts the fire. You know, it works with heat, with hot air, and that's how it works. And when you close it, it makes a new fire, sort of said. That is a problem of the shalakim. That's only by bread. It's only by bread, we say, they're not provisional. So very good, you remember. Very good. Special Akim. Now I said, let me just say what I tell them.
It was
totally wrong. It's totally wrong.
But it cooked it a little bit.
No. It has to be cooked a third in most places. So I told them, I want to tell you something. If you want, is the question for all the boys there about the hamburgers. Hamburger is not oil ha-shocha malocha. Ground meat. You wouldn't serve, not even to your mother-in-law. You don't serve ground meat. That is not, ground meat is here, at least, I know someone tells me the other day that in certain places in the world it's here, ground meat is, has no chashivas. Well, there is one shitter, but most of the chayim don't hold the meat as well. It has to be meat that, nowadays, you will never serve ground meat at a choshev meal. Never. I always look when I go to weddings, to look what they serve. Ground meat they never serve. Second, a kashin the oven, that you don't have to kash it. You have to milk as a bishlak. You don't have to kash the oven in that way. Even if you be machma.
Yeah, that's what you do with your machma. Where we kash the cake.
So you don't have to kash it because there's a two, Mechaber brings 2 days. We spoke about it once here. There's 2 days if you have to kash a bishlak. But, and Meshachanot brings 2 days. And there's a two coolers. The base you saw, there's one shitter, there's no bishlakim without soymechadat. And your worker does it for you, those are one shitter, those are no bishlakim. When there's all three coolers together, so you really don't have to kasha. I do know a lot of peskim always tell people you got to kasha. I tell them, you know, your rav tell you to kasha. But pialocha, there's three coolers over here, you don't really have to kasha. If, it's your work and it's your house. Those three colors.
So if the guy takes up the child's pot cover and he looks sitting beside
the That's anyways, it's cooking. That's not a problem. That's a problem. But what happened in Chabad, my neighborhood, one time they came in a panic that they don't know who put on the child. It was the guy or was the guy who was in charge went to Pico for Shabbos. And one guy says he was not here. It was the guy who plugged it in.
He
So the chalent is surely not really the shulchan malachim. The question is the meat in the chalent. That was the problem. So the meat in the chalent is either the meat. If it depends if you put good meat, yes. Well, it's a big question, but I'll kapon if the meat changes the entire color of the chant, many hold it's also. But I told them that the sufik bishal akim we paskin is okay. Just a sufik, we're not sure. Bishal akim is a drabonim, so you're in doubt who did it. But I want to reiterate, since we went off topic, that you cannot have a shiksa in your house if you're not yoytze v'nechmas. That means you have to come in, and then shiksa should not know where you come and go. Every few weeks, people ask me, "You should put in a camcorder. It's unbelievable. You could see it. Yeah, and you could see it on your iPhone. My daughter sees it on the iPhone. You know, this is them. And you know, and you tell the shiksa. But many people found many interesting stories what the shiksa does. You know, I love when people say my shiksa. You know what I mean? So one guy tells me, I was convinced that she cooked. She doesn't cook, but I didn't notice. 23 minutes the baby was crying and she did nothing. She was reading a paper. Another one just recently told me, I told her she cannot bring her boyfriend and she brought the boyfriend into the house. Then she doesn't even cook and didn't do anything. You know, but obviously when he was there for a half hour, 45 minutes, she wasn't working. You know, obviously. But she's in the camcorder that he's there. You know. Another guy told me that she sees the shiksa take out the shesi the erev and gives the child to kiss it and puts it back in.
Wait, that story
didn't get
the camera.
By the way,
you
go on
that story.
Yeah.
You have to let the
help
know that you're recording them.
Yeah, there should be ministers. She shouldn't cook. Tell her you cannot cook, and then. It's Sfardim have a worse than Ashkenazim, because Sfardim is not enough putting on the fire. We Ashkenazim just put on the fire, it's okay, but the Sfardim, they have to put the food on the fire, so they really have a hard time. Yeah, well, you have to put on the fire, so I have many Sfardim from Sfardim always ask me, is there any way, you know, we're going away?
You know, in the restaurants,
you said. Yes, so a real Sfardi cannot eat in the restaurants, yeah. I hope I didn't ruin your help. What do you say? My son-in-law owns doggies. So he says in the mountains, he gets orders from Sfarda, and they ask him that the Yid should put the food on the fire. This is a special order, Sfarda should order, not the good, because they just put on the fire to go and help, and there's the Yid for there. Like what?
Does that apply for the eggs also?
See, I claim that eggs are not oila shulchan malachim anymore. When was the last time you saw eggs served at a fancy meal?
They name it as a fancy name. But they have a name.
So even though it says straight in the shulchan,
yeah, yeah. I don't think who has a restaurant? He's not here.
They changed the name of everything.
But they don't serve eggs. You serve eggs at a fancy meal. Whale egg. What does whale eggs mean?
Whale.
Yeah. Oh, but they don't serve regular eggs. A regular egg, the way it's cooked, you'll never see it. If you made it differently, it's a whole different situation. Then that will be bishlakin. I know. Let me just reiterate this, because lots of Tamil Chum always ask me. The Shulchan Aruch says rice bread is not a problem of bishlakin, but rice is a problem of bishlakin. Even Thomas Shulchan Aruch, rice was oil Shulchan Malachim. Before the Persians came here, I used to tell people rice is not Shulchan Malachim. We Ashkenazim, your wife says. Okay, but here, you ever saw Ashkenazim serve rice? Only sushi came around. Till sushi came around, you never saw. And so I went to Persian weddings. Started to go to Persian weddings. How many Persians in my shul? I went to a Persian wedding. There were six different rice. Red, yellow, green, and any persons over here, you know, they know. But then this is a big thing, so that's a problem. But anyways, rice bread is not, because it's the way you make it. See, it's true that if you mashed potatoes is bishlakim because they serve at a wedding to add the spices and to make it look different. But the egg, a regular boiled egg, is a whole different way if they make egg, what you just said before. It's a whole different world. So eggs is really not oil ha-shulchan melachim. Yeah, the times change. Today they would never serve an egg at a wedding. Filter fish is also not oil ha-shulchan melachim. No. But you would never serve gefilte fish at a fancy meal. Forget, that's not to be a melochem. If you would have chosher a guest and your wife wants to impress them, would she make gefilte fish? Never. Never. Gefilte fish is made only for Shabbos. That's what it is. It has to. That's why I scream about canned tuna. You ever notice the seller in New York, canned tuna, bishul yisrael. Yeah, it's a Geneva. It's Mamish Ganova.
That's
baloney. It's the same as Gier, you should know that. He puts on a hat, owe you for 1 hour, the next day it's an okay hat. They'll do it in the Philippines. They don't do it here. So the guy used to go there, and the same as Gier. You know, one day he wears OU hat, next day they realized, why we should each send a Mashgiach? We'll send one guy, and he's going to work for you, you.
Rabbi, what do you say about the day after goes up, and the non-kosher that mixes? Is that an official issue? I heard from a big rabbi that the reason why we have official Israel is because the day that goes up from non-kosher stock.
That's nothing to do with Bishu, so that's the problem of Blia. The day fixed that. That's not the question now. That is a question we already asked 20 years ago. So when they do tuna fish, they're making it a different way. They all of them have that chumrah. They steam it. So the question is, let me explain what he's asking. If you have, we went off topic. Oh, but let me just quickly say, you know, these companies are huge. I mean, I went once over to see how they do it over here. So they have these, I don't know how to even, have like, you know, like you see the trucks that carry the gasoline. It's like a tube. And they, what? A tank. And they roll in fish with the whole big tuna, with the tuna, and just the fins cut off, and they roll it in into this thing, and they seal it, and they pump steam into it. So it gets steamed. Because with tuna gets steamed, it's easier to pack the can, and the taste stays there.
With the
no, they take out the gutter. They got it right away. Because if you don't got a fish right away, it gets spoiled. So now, what he's asking, so let's say the steam coming in into this, and the other side of the company, or block away another company to use the same steam, is making shrimp. So this question has been asked. Many hold it's not a problem. The ones who have a problem, so they have a new system. I don't know what they do. That's the 20-year-old question. That everyone is marked down out. The question is, they always claim that means Bishiso. You will never serve tuna fish for any person that you want to impress. I always joke my wife, for me, tuna patty is okay. But, you know, when someone comes, well, your husband don't count so chashiv, right? And your wife makes you, but, you know, when you have chashiv a guest, right? No way you should make the judge. If she get fish, she's got to be fresh fish from the market, and it's got to be this. No one serves. It's not oil shochalucha. I'm saying the ones that make a fuss, no, that kashrus is taken care of. That they know, they write on Bishul Yisrael because they hold it as a problem of bishulakim.
Yeah,
that's a kashrus. That's something else.
No.
Right? No, no.
Yeah.
The one who said to you, "Yes, this question is old as 20 or 30 years old." They fixed it a long time ago.
Today is not an issue. Bishul is not an issue.
This is not an issue. It's not really shulchan aruch. Today it's better.
And
I was told, who's sushi? Who's in the, don't you make sushi tuna?
Yeah.
Sushi tuna. So it's an echo chai.
So
it's either raw.
No problem.
They don't know halacha. That's why. Every time, I've been called recently by Rav. How did you say that there's no problem tuna? I said, explain to them. But that's not. That's the majority of people don't. It's not yet. I'm just saying, but most, you know, I remember 25 years ago, they told us that in Japan, or the Japanese restaurant eating raw fish. I thought, oh. But my daughter last week came in and she bought me sushi and it tasted good. You know, what should I tell you? Yeah, I mean, they do. Today, I am upstairs. There was a fancy fundraising. And the guy wanted, the guy who was honored, he was paying for the whole thing. I went to check it out. He had every fancy type of a sushi for that meal. It was extremely fancy made. What did you say?
All raw.
Different type of sushis. I have no idea. Yeah, I just went to see here. There's so many different types, but it's seated. They do serve it at fancy meals. I used to think that. They do serve it at fancy meals. Doesn't make a difference. Nechachai doesn't make a difference when it's nechachai. Since you eat it raw, then it's not a problem. So fish is not a problem with shalakim anymore.
The only issue they have is maybe the tray. The only issue they have is maybe that they make the tray.
And the other issue was the worms, which is not an issue. Yeah, but if you go to the sin, that's a problem. You can't go to non-kosher fish because, you know, either you take the whole fish and cut it yourself, or if he cuts it, you have to scrub it off. You know, you go to, people go downtown and buy, but if, what's the name, the Orochon and Rabbi Taylor's name, he once asked me that they sell, they close it down. There was a rest, there's a supermarket next to the yeshiva called St. Joe's, St. John's or something. What is it called? St. John's Market. They would every once in a while sell incredible cheap salmon. It was like below price. This was a liter. So, and the yeshiva would buy it. They would let you buy as much as you want. So I said to him, we spoke about this once there. Since it's salmon, you know, it has an OU. But the question was, they use their knives. So remember we said that. Even though you use the knives, that becomes both whatever. It's not a problem.
But certainly in the factory where they're cutting tuna, they're not using the knives for anything else.
Yeah, that's for sure. The same thing, cut fruit. Many people ask me about cut fruit. So the cut fruit that you buy in Ralph's is perfectly okay because the cut fruit in Ralph's is, they have, you know, I had a Lubavitcher, he stopped doing it, but his business was to sell for Ralph's the cut food. Why is it his business? Because if, this is America. If Ralph's hires workers to cut the food, they have to pay $17 an hour plus medical insurance plus. So they buy the cut food. So how does he do it? So he has Mexicans to do it, you know. Says we have special knives. I'm not going to use a knife to cut. We have special knives to cut fruit quickly. It's not true. I want to explain to you something. This is another thing to just get people nervous. If imagine you open the canned tuna and it's not tuna, it's salmon. What are you going to think about Chicken of the Sea or the other company? Ashlam Mazel. One time, just recently, it happened again recently, the schools got a bunch of tuna cans out of the salmon. Why? The labels were not 100% circum. They would not allow you to sell it. So the manufacturer had to give it away for schools, not allowed to sell it. Because what was wrong? I looked at it. If you look very well at the label, you see something wrong. I didn't notice it. That means if you look very well at it, something was wrong. I don't remember exactly. It wasn't centered right. So Bumblebee, I wouldn't sell you. Imagine you open the can, it's supposed to be cheap tuna, and it turns out to be salmon. They didn't want that.
It's a big thing that there's fishes that look like tuna that look similar that they say.
Well, no, we're not talking about a big fish. You're talking about a little shrimp gets in the way. They scoop up a whole bunch of stuff. And
I was in the way to make salmon. There's no, they put the big fish on the tray.
Sometimes
it happens. It happens. But it comes bottle. There's no shivas. Yeah.
Bottle.
Shishim. Shishim. But the way they make it, could be they changed it. Every you have to change it. But I saw them make it. They have, imagine, you know, these trays, and they put this whole, the tuna is very big. You know, the tuna could be very big. And they put the tuna fish on the trays, And this is done still by handwork. He puts it on the thing. He puts the thing. Wait. I asked the guy, where do you have non-kosher fish?
They don't process all the fish. The first is hand cutting.
First, it comes down a belt. And yes, and they chop off the tail and they chop off the head. And they gut it, and that goes down for the cat food. They just throw it down and goes down to the cat food. And then they take it, and each fish is put under a tray. I mean, they say they sometimes they have, what is it called? The guy told me
names.
But it doesn't. But they throw it down. It's, you know, they see it. It's not something that they mock, but not because of you. They mock for themselves. A goy is mocked for himself. It's a terrible name for him. He's not. He doesn't want to put the swordfish onto it because he doesn't want. It's a terrible name for him, you know. What are people going to say? Okay, let's come back to Shabbos. You know, fixing. The worst thing is when people wear glasses. If the handle of the of your glasses falls off, you cannot fix it. And if the glass pops out, you cannot put it back in. It's extremely annoying.
Why is it like a Lego?
It's not a Lego. It's made to last forever. But it's not made for that. You take it apart. If you put Lego to make a long time, that's a problem.
There's no
opinion,
so I can't put my mind back in?
No.
Unless what if your lens is constantly popping in and out?
Yeah, but it's not made that way. The question is, if it's not made that way, you put it in, everyone agrees it's an Isidaraisa. If your glass popped out of your eyeglasses, you pop it back in, it's tikkun muna of an Isidaraisa. And it's extremely frustrating. And not only that, if you know some of these glasses, the screw falls out, you can put in a paper clip. You can't even do that Shabbos, because in case you might fasten it. That's why I tell from people should have an extra pair of glasses. If you bend out of shape, most of the hold you allowed to bend it back in shape, because it's like you're happy bending it down, bending it up.
Yeah, because you never bend it back perfectly anyway.
I can't put a screw in and not make the final.
Right. You put in a screw in is a midrabanim asa. Right. So this is extremely annoying. I know that. That according to many poskim, the whole glasses is muktzah, because you might come do it. There are many hold that way. So if you wear glasses, it's always good to have an extra pair. If you don't wear lenses. Okay. Now, you know, I thought that's what you were asking before. How about blowing up a bed? You know, how's it called? That's really air mattresses are tikkun mana. That happens. You have guests, and the grandchildren come. And there's not a room, so you want to pump out. You know, you guys don't have it. In the sukkah, we used to have it.
Yeah,
so you have the like it's easy to put away.
Like inflating a tire.
It's you can inflate it with electric, and but you can't. But you could. There's a hand thing. You could. You can't do that on Shabbos. You can't blow a balloon on Shabbos too. You're creating something, kicking a balloon. Especially you tie it. That's a separate issue, making the knot.
Now they make strollers with, you have to pump the wheels out. Can't
every time you open the stroller?
Not every time, I'm saying, sometimes the wheels go down.
You can't pump that out, that's true.
Can I pump it a little bit? not make it complete?
No. Yeah, but you can't put it back onto the thing. You should put it manually. The reason you can put it manually is because good kvadabrius. But you can't fix it. That's tikkun mana. Even though it's easy to fix. Right. But it's not made that way. So you put it back in, it's a question. So the other question is, can you use a plunger on Shabbos? It's a huge machlikis in the last generation of all the gedolim. Some held it's an isadraisa, some held it's mitalikit chula. It's based on a very complicated gemara. It's a huge machlikis, and if you could avoid it, you should avoid it. If not, you could be semich on the makilah. If you have no other bathroom, I say over a story in my neighborhood. I got a phone call. Shabbos afternoon, Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, the guy calls me up and he says to me that he told the plumber to come and he hasn't come and he probably will come Shabbos and he's going to fix the bathroom. Can I let him come in? I said to him, what's the problem? Bathroom and stuff. So I said to him, how many, you know, I know that he lives on, as a, how many bathrooms do you have in your house? He thinks, he has to count, and he says, 5 bathrooms. So I said, what's the problem? You mean, Rabbi, I won't be able to use the downstairs bathroom? So I thought, first of all, I thought maybe he has an old mother living in it. I know this mother doesn't live with him. So you have, no one, we have young children. But you mean the downstairs bathroom won't be able to be used Shabbos? We are so like, you know, like a finicky, like walking up the stairs and use another 4 bathrooms upstairs is like, you know. So the truth is, there's no answer for that. You know, but there's many people have asked me this. You have a bathroom in the house just because one of the bathroom broke, you cannot have it fixed on Shabbos. But using the plunger, again, if you have no choice, you ask a goy. If you don't have a goy, you can use it yourself.
So basically the rule comes out that any fixing of anything matters.
Right, so what's the heter of plunging? Most whole, there's nothing there, just stuffed. It's like you have a straw and the children put something through and you're shaking it out. Plunging is only, there's nothing went wrong there. It's just it got stuck a little bit. And by plunging, you're just forcing it down. That's all you're doing, adding water and pressure.
If I pull my dresser drawer out and it pops out, can I put it back in?
But that's a different thing, a whole different question. If that's called, since it's made to be there, you know, you have the thing and you pull it out, that's maybe you're not allowed to put it back in on the thing because that's like a tikkun. It's not supposed to come out and you're supposed to put it in a certain way. Supposed to mean a chibah there, so that's a whole different. What do you want to ask?
You made a comment how the goy do it, but I thought we learned this how do we do that? We're making the goy our shliach. It's as if we're doing it.
Yeah, well, but any time, first of all, you allow tell a goy to do Shabbos, certain things. But any time it's a machoikis, we allow to tell a goy to do something. You're not allowed to do because there are many who hold that a goy, it's okay like a tchila. Whenever there's a machlokes, you could always say a goy to do it. You follow?
Yeah, but if it's okay, then why bother?
There's two opinions. Some hold it extreme, some are so like a tchila, we try to avoid it. But there are times you're allowed to tell a goy. I know today became a terrible hefkedus, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav is extremely machmir. Goy cannot do. You know, people have shiksas at home, and the shiksa does everything. That's a separate issue we'll have to talk about all the time. So you have automatic swing. You know these swings for babies. Anyone has a baby here? You have a baby. You have an electric one. But if the ones that you know, if you leave it on before Shabbos, no problem. You know, and what they have, the electric ones, is by leave it on and there's a switch, right? So it swings. That's okay because it doesn't. But you, there are swings that you have to wind up. So it's a swing without winding it up. It's just the winding it up helps you swing, so you're allowed to wind it up. It is a keli. See, a clock, your hand watch is not a vessel unless you wind it up. It's worthless. Here, it's a swing. So you have to stand there and swing the swing. So now you wound it up. It's an answer. Yeah, but it's no. It is a keli. It is a swing. That makes it swing by itself. Not improving anything. It's just the keli is a keli, and that helps you. And it swings on its own. That's a great thing. How old is the baby? It's a great, I see from the grandchildren, it's a great thing. It's a great invention. You know, the baby carriages, they're very, very important. Some of the baby carriages, the folding ones, so very often the wheel just pops off. You ever have that? You have that, it just pops off. You can't put it back in. It's a real, and I don't know, the odd ones are not so good, and just the people have told me that the wheel pops off. You cannot put back the wheel. That's tikkun mana.
But if it's slipping off, can you push it back on?
If it's slipping, no, you shouldn't do that. You should. One of my children told me she had a problem with it. She got herself a different crash for that reason. It opens up all the time. It's not good. You have one like that that pops off?
Yeah, the expensive stroller. But the wheel.
The expensive stroller, right. And the wheels sometimes pop off.
You can't push it back.
Can't push it out. She has that exact one. And she told me that, it's a tikkun mana. Now, I don't know if I spoke about it over here, but you're allowed to open the stroller, and there's a big machloikis if you're allowed to put the hood over it, making an oil. So this, what do you say?
That's a real issue.
Can you open an umbrella Shabbos? No. So the question is, if you can't open an umbrella Shabbos, why can you open a stroller with the thing on top? That's the famous question that everyone asks. The answer is, we don't have a good answer. But the minigoyim is to do it, to open it up, because really, a pialocha, it's made that way, it's okay. So we don't know why umbrella became such a big issue. You know, but that's the meaning in Klal Yisrael was not to use umbrella. It was wow, it's like a chomer in a minute. But the stroller people, you know, it's hard to say it's awesome.
So what's the name of the umbrella goes back to justification? Use umbrella open.
Meaning in Klal Yisrael is not that way. Theoretically speaking, when I see a guy walking with umbrella, I don't say anything. You say, I'm more than once saw my neighborhood guy. People don't know walking umbrella, I don't say anything. Someone once asked me, what do you say? He says, I don't know why it's awesome. So she tells me, so I don't say anything. But the minig is accepted that we don't use it. I mean, it's a very strong minig, but Svardim too. You know, the very strong minig. It's hundreds of years we don't open
it. The whole thing is to make the oil, keep it open.
So I should keep it open. Many hold out, since it's made to fold, made to open up, you'll have to do it.
And then there are strong windows, pop right up.
What do you say?
There are strong windows, pop open.
Opening a nylon bag, according to the Shulchan Aruch Rabbi Lautu, as long as you don't make it even clean to make it a keli. Let's say you want to open napkins, a bag of napkins. So you want to open neatly, you should be able to keep the bag. Then it's a problem of taking money. But if you just rip it open to throw it away, it's no problem. If you open it up and then there's a thing receivable, that you cannot do.
Oh.
That's what we spoke about it before. You have these big potato chips or big bags, when you rip it on top and then there's a fancy like zipper, that you cannot do on Shabbos.
Okay.
If it's done before Shabbos, you could put it together. That means if you have, let's say, the bag of chips, whatever you have, you open it before Shabbos and you receive it, that's perfectly okay. But if you rip open the bag, as you rip open the bag, and then they have this fancy thing there that you cannot rip open because you're ripping open to make a bag now.
But you can just throw the bag away.
Yeah, if you throw a bag away, it's okay, but it's not made for the end. Right, for sure.
But what about tearing like a complete separate piece from like, how do you call this thing? Like let's say aluminum foil.
Aluminum foil, ripping aluminum foil is an issa daraisa. Chayev chatas.
Everything
you're ripping, aluminum foil, saran wrap. What else do you rip?
Saran wrap. Yeah.
Saran wrap. According to Shulchan Aruch Rabbi, you chayav chatas. What else? Silver foil. What else do people rip? Silver foil. What do you say? Anything that you rip that you're going to use, is you're not allowed to do Shabbos. It's very, very important. People don't know this. Saran wrap, you know, like Friday night, wife wants to pay the food. So we have already, we have our standard thing, we rip before Shabbos. Now my wife already has, you can buy pre-cut silver for a tin foil. But you cannot rip in Shabbos, clearly. Any other questions?
Same thing in regard to two and a half clients,
Yeah, salmon to eat also, right? Yeah, but salmon and beside that, eat it sushi. Salmon is also eat sushi. And salmon is also, the way they make in this cans, it's not oil shalchem alachem. You will never serve can, you'll never serve canned tuna at your wife wants to entertain, never serve. No person will serve canned. So bishalakim is really on the meat, on chicken, potatoes, vegetables that they serve. So how about chicken soup? Let me tell you a frightening story. A shiva came to me and he's all shaken up. He's staying by this very wealthy home. And guess who made the whole Shabbos? The Shekhsa. So he asked the Balabas Friday night, as walking to shul, he asked the Balabas, you know, how come the Shekhsa does everything? Well, I plug in the oven into the thing. He understood it just because he plugged the oven into the wall, so I did something, he remembered that's good enough. And he came to me, he says to me, what am I going to do now? I'm staying by this wealthy person supposed to help the yeshiva, like, you know. So I said to him, I would tell him it's wrong, but I told him, the gefilte fish you're allowed to eat. The soup, if you don't need the chicken, just eat the soup, it's okay. You know that, why do we drink coffee? Toys asked the question, why is beer no bishul akim? So Toys, not because of shakel. Toys says, because the main thing of beer is the liquid, and it's just a taste into the liquid. Yeah, so Toys says, on beer there's no bishul akim, the same way coffee there's no bishul akim. Coffee is al shalchom lochom. You go to fancy meals, they serve fancy coffees. I was at a wedding, a very expensive wedding, and they bought in espresso. I don't even know how to pronounce these fancy coffees, you know what I mean? And, well, you pay $10 a cup, you know, one of these. And, you know, they serve it at a wedding. And the reason is because, the taste it says, because the main thing is the liquid. So the chicken soup is also not a problem. So the chicken you shouldn't eat. And potato kegel is also not a problem. A potato kegel is not a real shulchan alachim. Someone tells me, it's a soul, it is. It's a soul wedding, but not here. Not here. What do you say? If the Jew lights the fire, she could put it on. No, it doesn't have to be there. No. He understood if I just plug in the oven into the wall, so when you ignite it with, how's it called, electric ignition, that's good enough. Some reason he understood that. Where he got this from, I have no idea. Yeah, that's not a problem. And if you have a shiksa cooking, you never tell the shiksa where you're going. It's how much did it cost you to put in the camcorder? It doesn't cost much money, and you check it. Your wife checks the shiksa. You find it. That's good. She sees it. Remain in the kitchen. Well, it's for baby, for children is the best thing, safety. Okay, everybody.